This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. The North Carolina General Assembly convenes tomorrow in Raleigh for the short session. The main objective is to balance a two-year budget, but also on the agenda, controversial measures on teacher pay, Medicaid, and coal ash disposal. And before we get to the short session details, a sad note. Commerce Secretary and congressional candidate Keith Crisco died yesterday in his home. Joining us now is WUNC Capitol Bureau Chief Jessica Jones. Welcome, Jessica.
Thanks, Frank.
Tell us more about Keith Crisco. What happened?
Well, what we know is that he died after a fall at his home on Monday, and it was just, we don't know much more than that. It was obviously very unexpected. The former Commerce Secretary was apparently planning to concede the race to Clay Aiken, the primary race in the 2nd Congressional District. So it just was one of those completely unexpected things. And I guess I should also say that tributes have poured in from both sides of the aisle. He was universally respected. He was loved. People said that he was a real gentleman. And I'd also like to point out that the reason, I think, why there was just a complete absence of negative campaigning in that primary race against Clay Aiken was because Crisco was such a gentleman.
He was on our show last month during the campaign, and we were talking to him about that. And, yeah, he told us about how important it was to him and what a priority it was to him to work across party lines.
In my business, in my community, and in as Secretary of Commerce, the one thing I've done, and one thing my reputation is, I work across the aisle, I can work with anybody. And I'm naive yet enough to think that we've got to do that. You're right. Our number one issue is not the policy divide. It's the ideological divide. And if and only if we start working together, will we find solutions. There's so many more solutions to our problems in the middle through eliminating gridlock.
Yeah, it was Keith Crisco from our conversation with him last month on the State of Things. He died at his home yesterday at the age of 71, and he was a primary candidate in that 2nd congressional race, Democratic primary, in a close match with Clay Aiken. As you said, he was writing his concession speech to Clay Aiken. Where does that race stand now?
Well, it doesn't really change what was going to happen in the race. As you said, he was already set to concede, and his campaign strategist knew that, and the Aiken campaign knew that as well. The Aiken campaign sent out a statement yesterday saying that they were suspending campaigning for now out of respect for Mr. Crisco. So eventually that race is going to go on, but right now things are on hold for a little while.
All right. Well, let's turn to the short session of the North Carolina legislature. Tell us about what happens in these short sessions. What are they all about?
So the short session is generally a six-week session. It is meant to adjust the second year of the state's two-year budget cycle, and things need to be tweaked a little bit. The amount of money that's coming in may not be the same as last year. The amount of money that goes out may not be the same. So that's what it's meant to do. It's meant to tweak that two-year budget.
All right. What are the top items on this year's agenda?
Well, we've heard a lot about raises for teachers and state employees. The governor came out with a plan, this very detailed plan about raises for teachers, and the governor has said he'd like to add $1,000 to every state employee's salary. And there seems to be support for that in both chambers, but for the general idea, but not necessarily for the governor's exact proposal. So I think it will be interesting to see what both chambers come up with, whether they agree, disagree, what they like about the governor's plan, what they don't like about the governor's plan. So we'll just have to see on that front.
You talked about the governor, and of course, in the first 2 years of his term, one of the criticisms had been that the agenda was really driven by the legislature. He was more or less standing by, reacting to it all. He said he's going to be more aggressive. Any indication that that's going to happen?
Well, he has said that he's going to be more aggressive. I think this plan that he's put forward for teacher raises, I think that is an indication that he's trying to be proactive. And so we'll see what happens. But early signs show that you know, he's trying to put more suggestions out there, trying to lead a little bit more.
You talk about tweaking the budget. Of course, a budget is always based on projections, particularly revenue projections. In general, the business economy, at least for businesses, has been getting better, and that could indicate more robust revenues than perhaps had been projected. Is there more money to give out than the original projections had estimated?
Well, some legislators are hopeful. Others are not as hopeful. Right now, there's a budget shortfall of $445 million, which to regular people like you and me, that's a huge number. But legislators usually grapple with it during this short session and figure out figure out how to deal with that, and we'll just have to see how that goes.
What about other policy initiatives? Certainly we think about the coal ash spill. That's something that's happened since the last session. Will that be on the agenda this time?
It looks like it will be, probably in both chambers, but especially in the Senate. Senate President Phil Berger is from Eden, which has been very much affected by the spill. And he said in a news conference last week that it's going to be a priority to get Duke to really clean up the coal ash spill and try to prevent other spills from happening in the future. And he has said that that is a big priority.
Other questions that may be down the list a little bit, but it certainly had been priorities in the initial session, were unemployment insurance and Medicaid. Do they play any part in this session?
We're probably not going to see a lot of movement on Medicaid in this session, partly because it is such a short session and the Medicaid issue is so large, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of support this time around to move that forward. It's just too big. It's just an enormous project overhauling the state's Medicaid plan, and there are so many other things that need to be taken care of in the short session. So I don't think we're going to see a lot of movement on that. In terms of unemployment, Governor McCrory actually has already said that he would like to stiffen some requirements for people who are looking for jobs. So people who are on unemployment currently have to show that they've looked for jobs in two places, contacted two people, two different organizations to try to get jobs, and he'd like to increase that number up to five. So we may see some legislation that's related to that.
All right. The national press, this is the short session. For a long time, this had not been gained much attention even across the state. Now the short session here in North Carolina is getting national attention.
That's right. Big national journalists are circling the legislature as we speak, and they...
That's a funny picture, by the way.
Yeah, it is a funny picture.
Giant journalists flapping their
wings, flying around the legislature. That's right. They have been angling for press passes to get into some of the press conferences and to observe things as they're happening on the floor, and it's because there is a big Senate race that we all know about. Republican Speaker of the House Tom Tillis is facing the Democratic incumbent, Senator Kay Hagan, and that is going to be a big race. Already there's been so much money that has been spent on that race, and Tom Tillis is the Speaker of the House. He's going to be at the legislature, and so people across the country are going to be watching what he does in the House very, very closely, watching what he says, watching what bills get passed, watching what gets sidelined. It's going to be really interesting.
And this in addition to the fact that North Carolina had already gained some national attention for initiatives, both in changes to election laws that made things more restrictive here in the state, cuts to education funding, which became as robust as anywhere in the nation, and unemployment insurance cuts. All of that had already brought North Carolina into the national limelight. And now this race, Tom Tillis and Kay Hagan, and of course, it has gained a lot of attention. Tom Tillis already attracting a great deal of money from outside sources, right?
That's right. Well, outside sources have contributed greatly on both sides of the aisle. Actually, there was an analysis that was put out by by Wesleyan, the media center at Wesleyan, on the amount of outside money that has poured into this race already. And I think that we will definitely see more of that as we get closer to November.
And of course, in the primary, one of the things that always happens for both parties is you have to play to your base during the primary, which tends to be a little bit to the left or to the right, and then you have to get back to the middle for the general election. Tom Tillis, of course, won handily. He avoided a runoff in his primary race, meaning that the showdown between the mainstream and the Tea Party never quite materialized the way it was expected to do. But he still has some issues with the legislation passed by this legislature. What are we watching for as he tries to navigate this mean ground, this middle ground now between and sort of run a statewide campaign, and as he kind of no longer has to focus on his Republican base? What are we looking for?
Well, I think one of the things that we're going to look for is he going to promote legislation and shepherd through bills and other initiatives that appeal to that broader Republican base? We've talked for years about how the state is really split. And when we look at the polls in that race, they are very, very close. Senator Hagan is very close poll wise to Tom Tillis. The numbers are really close, and they're both going to have to fight for it. So he does have to appeal to that broader base here in North Carolina. And I think, you know, I'm not sure that it's a coincidence that we've seen some of these softer measures come up in this midterm election year. teachers would always love to have a raise. State employees would always love to have a raise. And there are probably going to be a number of other things that are going to appeal to that broader base. A lot of people, of course, people want to see, don't want to see another coal ash spill in the state. So I think that we may see some of those constituent-friendly measures come up in the General Assembly this year.
And media attention, and as you've pointed out, cash as well. It's going to be an expensive race. Both Hagan and Tillis will attract a lot of outside money, making this probably one of the most expensive Senate races that we've seen for a long time, if ever.
That's right.
We'll keep our eyes on it. Jessica, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Jessica Jones, our Capitol Bureau Chief. On the State of Things today, we're talking about that. And just ahead, a new horror thriller exploits needle phobia. Stay with us on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.